left us. He hasn't left. He hasn't quit. He has gone to a men's meeting that is a national committee. So he is currently still in church, just somewhere else in another state. Amen? He will be back. I promise. He has not left. Just in case any of you was wondering. We love our pastor. Amen. Keep him in your prayers for safe travels as he returns. He has done amazing things with our men's committee, and I am excited to see what's going to happen. I tell you, men, what we have planned for men's conference in Ocala is going to be pretty awesome. We've changed up some things. There's going to be some things we're sort of surprising you on, but trust me, you want to be there. It's going to be good. God bless you. We're going to go straight into the Word tonight. Don't want to keep you too long. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. 1 Peter 4 and 7. Amen. If you're there, say amen. If you got it on your Bible, say amen. People still carry those. You got it on your phone, your iPad. You got it on the screen now. See, we put it on the screen and people forget. They're like, well, I don't need to bring anything now because we always have it there. Well, what happens if our system crashes? Then what you going to do? Right? Right? See, didn't think about it. 1 Peter chapter 4. But the end of all things is at hand. Man, that's a great way to start a scripture. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Man, the end of all things is at hand. I didn't think about that while I put that scripture there. That's pretty straightforward. Romans chapter 8, verses 36 through 39. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day. See, this is another one. I didn't think about this. This is pretty dark. Stay with me. Killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, see now it's getting good, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Man, I just want to talk to you tonight on, is the title is pretty much a statement. That is, you are not alone. You are not alone. Amen. How many of you know you're not alone? Look to your right, look to your left. You can clearly see you are not alone. You're not alone. Amen? So, looking at her, that was mean. Looking at our life and this world that we're living in, all the things we're going through and seeing on the news, reading in the newspaper, you can't go anywhere without seeing that prophecy is happening right in front of us. Amen? It's happening. Straight out of the Bible, scripture, word for word, black and white, it is happening in front of our eyes. If you have not seen it, you're living in a cave. But prophecy, it is happening. The Word of God is playing out right in front of our eyes right now. And Peter said, the end of all things is at hand. And I declare to you tonight, we are there. The end of all things is at hand. One way or another, it's coming to an end. God is coming back. We don't know when. It could be tonight before I finish this message. It could be tomorrow. Could be 10 years from, I don't know. But we know that the scripture says when we see certain things, know that the end is near. Amen? Events have been set in motion which proclaim that the day of the Lord is close at hand. Earthquakes in diverse places. That's happening daily. Daily there is up to 10,000 earthquakes that happen in the world. Did you know that? We only see the ones that happen on the news that they want to share with us. But across the world, see, this doesn't say in America you're going to see diverse earthquakes. In America, you're going to hear wars and rumors of wars and kingdoms against kingdoms and nations against nations, famines, and no, it's the world. You got to look at the world picture. All this is happening on the major scale within our world in front of us. So prophecy is daily being played out in front of us, and it won't be long until Jesus says, time is up. Pastor closed his message Sunday talking about the wise and the foolish virgins, of how important it is to keep our oil full, to keep our lamps ready, our wicks trimmed, because you never know when the bridegroom is going to come calling. It's just that simple, that easy. So the closer we get to his coming, the harder this world is going to fight us. But how many believe that as the scripture says, we're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors. So if we look at this world, it's easy for us to get down. It's easy for us to get upset, to feel like we have no hope because of everything that is happening. But if we truly believe the Word of God and what we read, we have a hope. And we can trust that God is going to bring us through every situation. See, I can look back in my life, and yes, I've had some hard times. I've had some troubling times. I've cried a lot. I've hurt a lot. But I can also say that never once has God failed me. I don't understand all the time. His timing definitely isn't my timing. Amen? But He's never failed me. My bills have always been paid. I've always had food on my table. It wasn't always a T-bone steak. Sometimes it was 99-cent box of mac and cheese or ramen noodles. People downplay that, but that's some good stuff right there. My college days, I lived off of that. But God always provided. My family has never went without. So in our text, Peter gives some insights on how we are to live. Because that is the key to all this. Everything that is going on, if we're going to have hope and we're going to make it to the end, to the bridegroom comes, we have to know how we are to live, how we are to survive, how we are to make it. So Christians were being persecuted when Peter was given to Scripture and even killed for their faith, which is also happening in our world today. Not so much in America, but in other countries, it is happening. Peter knew it was going to be a hard time, and it was just going to get worse. It wasn't going to get better. And preparing themselves is what he wanted them to do. He says, I want you to be ready. I don't want you to be surprised about what is at hand. And he says, I want you to keep your heads straight. I want you to keep your focus. He wanted them to stay together and not fight amongst each other, not to bicker with one another, but to stay unified, to stay unified. 1 Peter in chapter 4, going to 8 and 9 says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. Fervent love. Not just kind of love them. Not really just kind of like them. You got to love them. We all struggle with that. I do. There's a lot of people that I don't want to love, but I have to. There's some people that make it hard to love. Don't raise your hand. Don't stop looking at your neighbor. Some people, they make it hard for you to love them. And you got to love them anyway. You got to find a way to love them. Amen? It says, for love will cover a multitude of sins. It will cover a multitude of sins. It's hard to hate somebody when you love them. It's hard for someone to hate you when you love them. It's hard for someone to be mad and upset with you about something when you show them love. It's just like giving forgiveness. It's one and the same. You show someone love that's mad at you, they're not going to have a choice but to forgive you and love you anyways, or their life is just going to get worse. They're going to get more upset, and they'll be mad at themselves, and while they're staying up all night worried about the situation, you're fine because you've moved past it and you love them. It covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable one to another without grumbling, without gossiping. I heard someone say, it's not gossip as long as you end it, say it's a prayer request. Just pray for them. Just because you're saying you need to pray about it, it's still gossip. It doesn't make it right. So my first point tonight is love one another. In the scripture, Peter is alluding back to Proverbs 17 and 9. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It says, he who covers and forgives, see, love and forgives, an offense seeks love. But he who repeats or harps or nags on a matter separates even close friends. You want to lose a friend? You want to kill a relationship? Don't show them love. Nag them, harp on them, constantly remind them of what they did wrong. It's the easiest way to lose a friend and to ruin a relationship. So do the opposite of that. Love them. Love them. Build them up. Encourage them. Pray for them. Amen? Love goes a long way. Don't hold a grudge. This could be marriage counseling. Pretty good. See, we started off pretty rough in the scriptures. You know, we're all going to die, but we're getting there. We're getting there. So it's hard to be mad at someone when you show them love. Amen? See, kids learn very quickly when they want something or when they've done something wrong, what do? Give you that puppy dog look, bottom lip stick out a little bit. But Daddy, I love you. Mama, I love you. What did you do? I love you. If you're not a parent yet, you don't fully understand. You can understand a little bit, but you don't fully understand the consequences of that face and those words there. My daughter knows that she wants something, just that look and I love you, it gets her a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. Gets her out of a lot of trouble. Amen? All the parents say amen? If you've mastered at ignoring it, please let me know how, because I haven't. I'll try to keep a straight face, make her think it's not working, just to turn around where she can't see me. Like, oh, man. Just, it always happens. But no matter how mad you are, those words there, I love you, it can change so many things in a situation, not just from a child, but from anybody's lips to say, I love you. It changes. I mean, now if it's a complete stranger, it might be a little awkward. It's still going to change the situation, but it might be a little bit different. But love is so powerful. Love is so powerful. It can change an environment, a situation. Love can change the world. I've always said, you know, when it comes to politics and all these wars and everything, if we could just take the leaders and set them around a table full of some good Southern cooking with some grandma looking at them, shoving chicken in their face, saying, honey, I just love you. I think a lot of wars could be averted. A lot of problems could be fixed over a round table of food and some good words of encouragement. Amen? See, Peter, he wanted them to understand in this scripture, you're going to go through some hard times. It's not always going to be easy. You're going to feel like everything is falling apart around you. You're going to feel like everything might be going wrong in your life. But through it all, still love one another. Don't grumble. Don't complain. Don't push your burdens on someone else, your attitude on someone else. They don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. But instead, show them love. So my second point is be there for one another. I only got 3 points, so we're moving good. Be there one for another. Amen? Peter said in verse 10, each one has received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold of grace of God. See, some of the benefits of having the Holy Ghost is that we've all been given spiritual gifts that we can develop in our life as part of change. I mentioned Sunday when I taught that if you have the Holy Ghost and your life isn't changing, your attitude isn't changing, you need to check to really see if you got the Holy Ghost. Or check to make sure that you're feeding that Holy Ghost, that you're watering it the right way. Because to have the Spirit of God in you and the power of God, you can't have that in your life without developing change. That's the purpose of it. God wants to change us. He wants us to grow. If you're not growing, you're becoming stagnant. That's what the Bible talks about, stirring up the gift in our life. We have to constantly be in the Word, constantly just working with God to get all that stirred up in our life. These spiritual gifts are so important to a church. Just like the fivefold ministry, the spiritual gifts, we have to have those too. And it's not just one person that works in all the gifts. Everybody has been given gifts. Amen? And you have, that's what I love about Starting Point. Starting Point, we started going through it last night, and I got to see what some of you have been through. And these are things that you have to develop in yourself, and you don't even realize you have them. But as you discover them and read the Word and see them in yourself, you can get excited about it and learn how to work in these gifts. So we have prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, mercy, words of knowledge and wisdom, faith, healing, miraculous powers, discerning the spirits, gifts of tongues and prayer interpretation of tongues, healing. These are gifts of the Spirit. These are things that as the Holy Ghost grows inside of you, you will develop some of these gifts. Amen? And Peter, he wants the church to understand that you've been given these gifts, grow in these gifts, let them develop in your life, but don't keep them to yourself. Use them for the church. Use them to edify the church, to build the church, to help one another. Amen. I talked Sunday morning, and just all this has come from what I talked about. It's sort of like chapter 2 of what I taught on. But as we grow as a church, as the body of Christ, we have to learn to work one with another. You know, we can't do all the work on the right side of our body, or the left side is going to starve. We got to even it out. We have to work together. So we have to use our gifts with each other. If someone needs healing, if someone has the gift of healing in here, please lay hands on someone and pray for them. Amen? Words of encouragement. Some people are very good at just talking to people and encouraging people. Go talk to somebody that you know needs a word of encouragement and speak into their life. You could be the one that could change their situation and bring them out of the haze that they're going through just because you used your gift. Amen? Gift of faith, of wisdom, miraculous powers, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation. I love it when we have Sunday service, and God is just moving, and you could just cut the spirit with a butter knife. It's so thick in the sanctuary. Then all of a sudden, everything goes flat, and all you hear is someone speaking in tongues, and then a word comes forth from God. And you just get this goosebumps on top of goosebumps. Man, there's nothing like that, just hearing from God. I mean, we can pray and we can hear from God in our life, but there's something special in the church atmosphere when he speaks to us as one body, amen, as a church. Peter said, don't keep these gifts to yourselves. Use them for your brothers. Serve one another. Teach one another, because iron sharpeneth iron. Amen? Encourage each other. Speak faith one to another and pray for them. If we don't show these things each other in the church, where else are we going to find them? You're not going to find them down at Walmart. People aren't going to stand in line at Walmart and look at you and say, hey, let me just tell you, you're going to be blessed this week. If they do, really check them out. This might not be God speaking. Something else working through them. Amen. You're not going to find these gifts in a supermarket or in a bar. You're going to find them in the house of God amongst your fellow brothers and sisters. Amen. That's why the church is so important. It's in the church that you find encouragement. It's inside this house that you're going to find strength, that you're going to find guidance, you're going to find shelter. It's in this place. I mean, I just, so many times in my life that things are going on and just feel so beaten down, and just the opportunity to come to church and just get into his presence. And just, I mean, we know we can pray at home, we can get in our prayer closet and you can feel God's presence, but it's different when you're in the house of God with other people. When you're surrounded by other people that are worshiping and just praising God, and just the atmosphere is different. There's something different that happens and you just feel it. And just it makes a difference. That's why even if you don't feel like coming to church, get here. Get here, because your situation can change just through one song of praise and worship. Through one handshake of encouragement, it could all change. Amen? It's all in the church. That's called fellowship. We're all fellows in the same ship. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as it is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This is another concept of small groups. Eventually, you're going to get tired of us talking about it, because pretty much every lesson we're teaching, everything we're preaching, we're working in a small group somehow, some way. And it's not that we're trying to. It's just the scripture is, all the New Testament church is based off the small group model. It's what I said Sunday morning. They, what did they do after they got the Holy Ghost the day of Pentecost? They continued breaking bread house to house, small groups. They continued. That's what we're to do. So as you see today approaching, even more so, assemble yourself together. Get together with one another. Be with one another. No one's going to help you like a church person. No one's going to encourage you more than your brother or your sister inside the church. It's just not going to happen. So I love our church because we're an active church. We're not afraid to do things. We're not afraid to be busy. Amen? I've been to churches where nothing goes on, where you're just dying for something to happen. Praise God, I wish something would just mess up in the service just so something different would happen. I mean, just not at Grace Point, though. Grace Point, we stay active, we stay busy, we keep it exciting. Amen. I tell people the reason why we chose to stay here 5 years ago was because when we walked through the doors of the church, from the first person we met to the time that we left, all we felt was love and just the activity of worship that happened. And the Sunday school program, even though the Sunday school program isn't huge, 100 kids, you know, like some huge churches have, the Sunday school program, my daughter came out, and I saw a smile on her face like I haven't seen. We're active. We believe in working with God and working with each other. Amen? We make sure the Spirit keeps moving and we stir up the gift in this church. Hallelujah. So it's about making it to heaven. It's about reaching this lost world. Everything that Peter was saying in the scriptures here for the church, you have to stay together, you have to work with one another, you have to help one another so we can make it till the end. So we can make it until the end. And while we're doing that, we have strength to reach for someone else. It's hard to do outreach and hard to witness to somebody if you're drained and you don't feel it. If you haven't been recharged during the week and the last thing you want to do is talk to somebody, how are you going to witness to that person in the shopping line when God gives you that little nudge, hey, invite that person to church? Hi, would you like to come to Grace Point? No. Sure wouldn't. Versus, hey, can I tell you about something that happened to me this week? Just God did something amazing. I just got to tell somebody. Let me tell you my testimony. Let me tell you about my church, something we're doing this week. Hey, we got these small groups going on. You look like you like to eat. Let me invite you to my group. That might not be the best way to say it, but you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. Yeah. We have to know how to speak to people, but we have to be in the right mindset to do it. So we have to be where we need to be. We got to make sure our life is right, that we're recharged, that we feel the Spirit, that our lamp is full, so that we can reach somebody, they can feel it. If they don't feel God in your life when you're trying to talk to them about God, they're not going to believe anything you say. They're not going to listen to one word. They're going to shut you off immediately. But if you got God moving through your life and you got the anointing on your life and you're excited about living for God and what the church is doing, people are going to see that in your eyes. They're going to hear it in your voice. They're going to know that something is going on and they're going to want to be drawn to that. Amen? John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. It says, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. It's so simple of a scripture, but it is such an important foundation block of what we believe. That our only hope in this world is simply Jesus Christ. Our only hope to make it to the end of the week, to have strength, is in Jesus Christ. Amen. The strength that we have to lean on him. I love Pastor's message about leaning on Jesus. We have to do that. I found out even more, and just I get a little bit personal here with this, but in the last 2 years, I've lost five family members in my family in the last 2 years. I have never had to learn, and along with that, in the last 3 years, one last year and then 2 years before that, we've had two cancer scares with my wife where they told her she had brain tumor and cancer. That God has healed her. Tumors are gone. Cancer is not there. But I've never had to learn like I have had in the last 2 years to learn to lean on Jesus and to lean on this church like I've had to do. I don't know how I would have made it. So it doesn't matter what you're going through in your life. We have to learn this concept of trusting in God, trusting in his faith. That he's going to sustain us. Amen? Trusting in one another that when you're not strong enough, that you can lean on your brother and your sister. Amen? Some of you, you're going to go through some things, and it may be some of the things that I've went through. Well, guess what? I now know that you can come to me and you can lean on me because I can speak to you and encourage you on how I made it through. Amen? So we have to be kingdom-minded in all this. Everything, all this, the concept of it is one, making it to the end and reaching the lost, being kingdom-minded. Peter goes on to explain that we are going to suffer. We are. We're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulation. We may not face persecution like the rest of the world where we're killed for what we believe. That may happen in the United States in my lifetime. I don't know. We just don't know. It may be just as simple as what it's been. They took prayer out of schools. My daughter, at 9 years old, she gets persecuted on a weekly basis at school for what she wears. She gets made fun of because she wears a skirt to school every day. Why do you wear a skirt every day? That's stupid. She goes to the nurse's office because someone spilled something all over her, and the nurse forces her to put on shorts and tells her she has to wear shorts for the rest of the day at school. My daughter at 9 years old tells them promptly, no, my religion says I only wear skirts, and that is what I believe, and I will not wear it. So what happens? She calls home, and I go pick her up from school. That's persecution at a 9-year-old level. I mean, that's pretty harsh. But it's not going to get better. We're going to face more. Persecution is going to be more. They're trying to take even off our money. They're trying to take In God We Trust off of our money. It's going to be a nonstop thing. So we have to understand that things are going to get worse, and we have to, again, lean and trust on God. Amen? So we have to have the right attitude and approach towards everything that we face. We will glorify God in our suffering. 1 Peter 4, 12 and 14 says, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. So when you start getting persecuted for something, if you're acting all surprised, like, what? I can't believe this is happening. He just said it. Don't be surprised. It's going to happen to you. It's going to happen. Amen? But rejoice, he says, to the extent that you are partake of Christ's sufferings. That's a hard one. You're going to suffer, and you should be joyful because you're suffering. I still don't fully understand that. Just being honest with you. Because no one really takes joy in pain. It just doesn't happen. But we're to have joy and rejoice in this, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory of God rests upon you. On their part, He is blasphemed, but on your part, He is glorified. The way I look at this scripture, because it is hard to rejoice in your pain, I can tell you firsthand it is. And have a smile on your face when you're going through trial and tribulation. But to find joy in it is to know that regardless of how hard it is, I know I'm going to come out on the other side. So I can find joy in that, that God is going to bring me out. I don't know when. I don't know how, because I can't see it. And I'll tell you, I've been praying for direction for a long time for our lives and things that are going on. God, just give me a glimpse of, you know, what the purpose of all this is and what direction you're leading us in. And I don't get it, so I don't know. But I know at some point God is going to bring it about. So I have joy in that. And I have joy in the fact that once it is all done, I'm going to be better off than what I was. Because God never leaves you the same. He always changes you. So when He brings you out, you're going to be different. You're going to be changed. Amen. So my last point here says, put a smile on your face. Everybody put a big smile on your face. Come on, some of you need to work on it. Come on, come on, come on. There you go. It's hard to be upset when you have to smile. It is. I don't like to smile, my wife will tell you. She's always telling me, smile. It's hard. It hurts. But sometimes I don't want to smile, I want to cry. Sometimes I don't want to laugh. I want to say, oh God, why me? Why this? Why is this happening? And I want to scream instead. But as Christians, we will have things happen to us because of what we stand for. People are going to talk about you. You might not get that promotion that you're wanting because you're being persecuted because of your faith. It can happen. You're not going to fit in with everybody else on your job while they're all going drinking and partying because you don't do that kind of stuff. You might be an outcast because of the way you dress or the way you talk or because of what you believe. That's all part of persecution. But the scripture, as we read, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit and the glory of God, it rests upon you. It rests upon you. I can really say that there's no really other thing that I could want than just to know that I have the Spirit of God resting on me. That everything I go through, it's like a mantle. He's surrounding me. He's on me. He's resting upon me. Just think about that. We wear suit coats. You wear your jackets. You put them on you. They're resting on you. They're on your shoulders. Just picture the Spirit of God like that in your life. It's not just surrounding you. It's not just around you as a bubble. No, it is resting on you. It is touching you. God is touching your body. He is on you like a jacket. You can't get away from Him. That's how close God is in His presence. So we can be glad with exceeding joy because we know God will see us through and bless us through it all. So as a Christian, God allows us to go through these things to not only help us grow, but to help us be a witness to other people. People are watching us everywhere we go, watching what we do. I've mentioned it before that I imagine people are on your jobs and they know you, they know how you react to things, and they're going to set up ambushments against you, traps, just to see what happens. And he says, yeah, we got him now. We got him now. Let's watch his attitude. Let's see the words that comes out of his mouth when this happens. Just watching you to see if you're the Christian that you say that you are. We've all failed at some point. We have. But people are watching you. They're watching you in the grocery store while you're getting groceries. Are you having a Christian attitude? Are you acting Christianly? Do you look like a Christian, or do you look like the rest of the churches out there? Amen? That's why I love being Pentecostal. It's easy to spot a Pentecostal person. Amen? I tell people all the time, you're going to be surprised who you see stand in line next to you in heaven. Because it ain't all about what you wear and what you look like on the outside. Not all that is going to send you to hell. But we have a line and we have standards and we have separations that we have put in place and that pastor have put in place to guard us from falling off the edge of that cliff, to keep us. When God told Moses to put a fence up around the mountain so the people wouldn't be killed, notice in the scripture when you read that in account, he didn't tell Moses where to put the fence. He didn't tell him, you put the fence 50 meters from this tree and 50 meters from this tree and from the river. This is where you draw the line. No. He says, you're the pastor. You look at the mountain, you look at the land, you look at the people. You make a decision on where you should put the fence for the protection of the people. And I imagine Moses looking at the landscape and looking at the people, being the pastor, loving them, said, you know what? I probably could put the fence here. I probably could put the standard here. And they might be okay. But I don't want to risk losing anyone from the church. I don't want to risk anyone going to hell and dying. So just to be safe, I'm going to put the fence a little bit further back this way. So just in case the line is here, there's a grace period there in case they go over the line a little bit. That's the way it is in our life. We don't always understand everything that we have as far as standards, but we know that it is for the purpose to keep us safe, to keep us from going off the cliff, from going too close to the mountain where we shouldn't be. And I say that because whenever we're in town or going places, do you look like you're a Christian? It's easy to spot a Pentecostal. We go to Disney, we got Disney passes, we're there all the time. And amongst the thousands of people that are there, it's easy to spot one Pentecostal person in that crowd because of the way they're dressed. They're the only man at Disney wearing pants in the summer. They're the only woman wearing a skirt at Disney. It's easy. Think about that. You're supposed to be separate. You're supposed to look like a Christian. Well, how do you look like a Christian if you look like the rest of the churches? We can't tell if you're Baptist, can't tell if you're Methodist, can't tell if you're Mormon. But we can tell if you're Pentecostal. Amen? We can tell. So this world is watching you. They got their eyes on you. They want to know what kind of Christian you are, how close to the world that you are. This world wants you to fail. They want you to fail. Zechariah 13:9 says, I will bring the one third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined. That's God changing us. You're going to go through some things. You may not look pretty when you start going through it, but you're going to come out shining. You're going to come out with the glory of God shining on your life, just like Moses came off that mountain. Your face is going to be glowing. You're going to see the anointing on your life because you allow God to change you in those processes. It says, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. Not, I might answer them. I might show up. No, God said, no, call my name, and I will answer them. It says, this is my people. This is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God. Amen. Can you say that tonight? Can you boldly stand and say, the Lord is my God? I know where my faith is. I know I can say I trust in God. Amen. Psalms 118 and 6 says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Amen. Stand with me tonight. So when you know that God is for you, it's a little easier to have joy and to be happy in your storm. When you know that through your tests, through your trials, through the storm, and I know some of us are going through some storms. I know you walk into this place hurting. You were hurting on Sunday when you came to church. You prayed for God to deliver you, and you went home to the same situation. Not because you didn't change, but because God isn't done. And you're coming to church tonight, some of you with the same problems, the same hurt. And it still may not be done tonight. You may leave here tonight with that same hurt, with those same problems, the same trials that you're going through. But when you understand that what you're going through is simply the hand of God on your life, and that you learn to lean on Him and to trust on Him, it's going to make it a little bit easier. It's going to hurt a little less. It's going to be a little bit easier to walk standing straight with your head lifted high, knowing that God is for you. So with Jesus, we can make it all the way. All the way. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 7 through 8. I love this here in Scripture. When Paul says, I have fought the good fight. This is what I want to say after I get through some of the trials that I'm going through. When I finally make it through some of the storms that I'm facing right now, I'm going to be able to stand up and I'm going to say it loudly. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith through it all. I never gave up during the storm. I never gave up during the fight. Amen? That's the attitude we got to have. We have to understand that we can never give up. And that when we go through, we can make this statement that I made it through. That there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. Amen? And not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearance. I want to make it to heaven. And as bad as I want to make it to heaven, I want you to make it with me. Heaven's going to be everything we can imagine and more. It's going to be a place of joy. But it's going to be a little bit happier if I got my brothers and my sisters with me. Amen. It just wouldn't be the same if you weren't up there playing a guitar or singing, brother. It wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be the same if Brother Taylor wasn't up there running and shouting like he does here. Just wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be the same without our praise team up there. Amen. We got to make it together. I'm going to run this race. I'm going to make it to the end. I'm going to build up and encourage my brothers and sisters. I'm going to lift up my brothers and sisters and help them when they can't stand. I don't want any of them to be left behind. I'm going to be there for them. I'm going to love them with everything that I have. Even when they're unlovable, even when they don't want to be loved, I'm going to love them. Together we can run this race, and together we can make it to heaven. Just wonder tonight if we could gather around the front as a church body. I could stand here and say, like some of you, I got things in my life that God is working on me with. He's moving my family around. He's moving things in our life. Things we don't understand. Things we can't really see why. My wife and I, we have a weekly conversation about why is this happening. We pray, I tell you, we've for 2 years I've been praying for direction for our ministry. And I've had nothing but silence to that prayer. I feel God. I feel God's presence every time I come to the house. I worship. God spoke to me on plenty of other things. I hear God's voice. But on that prayer, I've heard silence. I got the bright idea and told Pastor, I need you to pray this week and fast this week. And when we meet, I need you to tell me what God tells you for me on direction. I need something. Even if it's just a general heading of look to the east. Not to move, but just direction of what God has for us. Something. I'm all excited meeting with Pastor. Pastor, what did God tell you? What word do you have for me? I don't feel anything. What do you mean you don't feel anything, Pastor? You're pastor. You hear from God. You're supposed to tell me something. I don't hear anything. Just stand still. Sometimes that's what we got to do. It's not the answer that I like. But maybe for the only reason that all this has happened, just so I can stand here and tell some of you, you may not like the answer where you're at. You may not have silence in your life. Maybe you just need to stand still tonight and just watch the glory of God. And let God work it out. And He will. And you can try to work it out yourself. It's like making brownies. You're going to mess it up somehow, some way. You're going to miss an ingredient or put too much of something or too less of something. You're human. You make mistakes. But God doesn't make mistakes. He is perfect in all His ways. And He's not going to mess up your life. So where you are is not a mistake. What you're going through is not a mistake. It may have seemed like it at first. It may have seemed like you messed it up. And you're wondering where you went wrong, where you made a bad decision. But God's just telling you tonight, just stand still and let me work on you. Let me move in your life. Let me mold you just like the potter has the clay on there. And when it's all said and done, you're going to come out shining as pure gold. And you will look back and you will see the glory of God that worked in your life. Amen. We could just lift our hands. I just wonder if some of us, we would just give that burden to God tonight. Just say, God, I know that you're working on me, that I can't understand and I don't understand, that this weight sometimes is too hard for me to lift, but I understand, God, that you have me in your hands. And even though I may feel lost, I may feel burdened down, God, I know you're carrying me and I know I can lean on you. God, that I know you're going to bring me through every trial, through every storm. So God, right now, just once again, Lord, I just want to release it to you. God, I just want to say that I'm going to trust in you, that I'm going to trust in your ways, trust in your judgment, God, that I'm going to stand still and just leave it to you, God, that you're going to guide me. You're going to lead us through the storm, Lord. Come on, some of us, we just need to let God lead our ship tonight. Let Him be the captain of our ship and stop trying to steer it ourselves and say, God, Lord, lead us to where you want us to be tonight, Jesus. Lead us to where you want us to be tonight, God. Lord, we need you, Jesus, tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we trust in you. God, we trust in you, Jesus. Come on, let this song be your prayer tonight through it all. Hallelujah.
I've learned to trust in Jesus.
Hallelujah, I've learned.
I've learned to trust in God.
Oh, yes, through it all.
Through it all,
God, through it all, we're going to trust in you tonight,
through
God.
It all.
Lord, through every storm, through every trial.
I've learned to trust in Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I've learned to trust in God.
Oh, yes, through it all. Through it all,
through
Lord.
It all. Oh,
when it's
yes,
all said and done,
it all.
When we come out on the other side,
I've learned to trust in Jesus.
Yes,
yes I've learned to trust in God.
Oh, through it all. Oh, yes, through it all. It is so important, as the scripture says, that we bind together more and more, that we meet together more and more. Again, I'm going to say it, our small groups are so important. It is so important to the lifeblood of this church. Amen. We have to bind together more and more. The harder this world comes against us, the more we have to lean on each other, the more we have to be there for each other. And so as we go tonight, tell somebody you love them, even if you don't mean it. Make them believe it. Say it with a smile on your face. Amen. Maybe even practice it a couple times before you do it. But make them believe it. Amen. Shake hands. If it's appropriate, give them a big hug and tell them you love them. God bless you.